Knicks family, welcome back to the Garb Knicks podcast. I'm here with Apollo Reed. Of course, I'm here with the big bro, Andre Jalil. It's been a minute since we've seen your face, man. But thank you for blessing us with your presence today. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you for having me, man. Thank you for allowing me to be here with my presence. You know what I'm saying? Even though I miss so many podcasts and stuff like that.
There this guy go. Listen, man, you part of the family. You're in the bloodline. You straight. Listen, you ain't got to worry about nothing. You know what I mean? You the big bro. I was looking to you for guidance. You know what I mean? I got you.
And I provided the guidance when I could.
You provided the guidance.
I had the guidance to provide. That's what I lent.
Provide. The same way my man Josh Hart guided our Knicks to a nice little victory.
You think it was Josh Hart? Yes, it was Josh Hart.
It was definitely Josh.
I keep hearing it was Deuce.
Deuce was big. I mean, Deuce had big moments. I mean, let's talk about it. Deuce had some big moments last night. Oh, was it last? Yeah, last night. Mitch, great. Some big moments. Even Bogey off the bench had some big moments.
I loved it.
But it's to me, man. The game ball goes to Josh Hart. You know what I mean?
For sure.
He was just making all the right plays. I think he had 13 points in the last quarter. You know what I mean? And just making the timely buckets and hitting threes. In ways that we haven't seen him do in a long time, with a lot of confidence. Yep. You know what I'm saying? So that's how you got to do it. Shout out to the chat, my man, RBL. You're what's good, my guy?
Listen, man, we definitely
got one up there. He said, "Throw the ones up." We got that. That's one in the books. Now, of course, like you know, I said on Twitter yesterday. Hopefully. The story of this series isn't about Joel Embiid and him being injured, and, you know, that's what they're gonna make it about. But to me, I don't think that's fair, because him coming into the series, he was already gonna be injured. Everybody knew he was gonna be injured, and they still slated him as the guy that was going to take over the series. You know, all the guys on TNT, Shaq and Kenny and Charles Barkley talking about they don't got nobody for Embiid. So, I mean, you know, and not to say that we had someone for Embiid, even though we technically did, because I think Mitchell Robinson held them to two of something. I forgot the number. I'll find it in a little bit. But Mitchell Robinson did a great job guarding Joel Embiid last night. And he's part of the reason why. You know, I think what was he, a plus 20? I believe he was a plus 20 last night. He was a plus 20.
When he got in there, it changed everything. They took Hartenstein out. They put him in there. It looked like it meant something to him.
Yep. I mean, he took, like you said, he took that challenge personally. You know,
personally, I love it.
And you know, I know that's been your guy. Talk to me about Mitch and how you felt about Mitch.
I saw that they had him coming off the bench. I was like, all right, he's just trying to maintain what they had going during the regular season, which I like, which I think is healthy. And you saw, like, the Knicks were down early. Like, they just couldn't get it going. They were missing shots. It just didn't look right. Like, the dudes didn't look like it was working out for them. Mm-hmm. And then I came back. I was dealing with something in the garage. So every break, I would go to the garage. I came back. They had Mitchell Robinson on them. We were down two.
Yeah.
I was like, see what I'm saying? They put Mitchell Robinson on that boy. And he was taking it to – because I get nervous of both of them. I get nervous of both of them. You know, what I didn't want to see is – Joel Embiid hurt, and then we win, and they say we won because they ain't have Joel Embiid.
Right, exactly.
That's really what I don't want. Mm-hmm. But to see Mitchell Robinson take that challenge on like that, because you see he got the grown man body now. I would talk about that years ago.
Right.
How he looks small, and that he's small. He still don't got that man weight yet, and that dude got the weight now. Like, you can't just bully him around. He's still athletic, jumping up there, blocking shots. You saw that shot he blocked off of, what's his name? Maxie,
yeah.
Up there blocking that, threw it on him. Yeah. For the out of bounds, that quick thinking, I was like, "Ooh, this dude ready. He about ready."
Yep.
You know, I just like Mitchell Robinson has like really become. I think if he had more time, we'd be saying a lot more about him if he wasn't injured and out like as much as the season as he was, because he was supposed to miss the whole season.
Yeah,
but he showed last night why he's so valuable. He kind of makes Hartenstein look like, "Nah, you the guy off the bench." You know,
I think at that point it depends on the matchup. Because I think
that's what it's about, and that's what the playoffs are about. It's about matching, and this is a big one. But let's say we win this series, And then Milwaukee wins that series. Then we got a that's going to be another matchup thing, and that's going to be a big deal. But I think they're going to put OG on Giannis if Giannis.
Yeah, I think you put OG on Giannis, which and I do see, in depending on the situation, Isaiah Hartenstein being more effective in those lineups because they kind of switch and they have Bobby Portis out there and he shoots threes a lot. Then you have what's the Brook Lopez out there? He shoots threes a lot. So you're going to have a lot of guys that are a little bit more mobile. So I can see in that series Isaiah probably being moved around a lot more because he can probably help out in those situations a little bit better. But when you got a guy like Embiid who's going to get most of his points in the paint, I think you got to have Mitchell Robinson in there. And he had a big game last night. let's look at the numbers for Mitch. Mitch had, 3 of 5 from the field. 2 of 2 from the free throw line. 2 big free throws. 2 clutch free throws.
Knocked them down,
man. It's clear, like, he had ankle surgery. He wasn't just sitting at the house. Yeah, you can't run, but there's other things you can do. You know, as a basketball player, there's other things you can do to prepare for whatever moment that you'll be put in. And, you know, they've been trying to hack a Mitch on him. Saw them do it the other – I think it was – who was it? Brooklyn? Yeah, I think it was Brooklyn. They tried to hack a Mitch on him. And that was the first time I saw that he was ready. He stepped up to the line. He didn't make every free throw, but he wasn't scared. And, you know, he took some. I think he still ended up above 50% for the shots that they made him take in that situation. I could be wrong. But regardless, the confidence in it is that's what you want to see. But, you know, stepping up, hitting 2 for 2 from the free throw line, grabbing 12 rebounds, 7 of them being offensive. You know, getting back to what he does, and that's the beauty of Mitchell Robinson, is giving the second chance points. And that's what makes him so valuable, is the fact that, yeah, you might get a shot off, but just understand that he's going to be there to get that rebound. And on the other end, if we get a shot and we miss it, we're most likely going to get that shot back, especially if you got guys like Josh Hart helping him off the box out off the rebound as well. So second chance points is really what makes his team special, especially because that's what a lot of our guys do. You got, like I said, Josh Hart is a guard that's out there doing that. But, yeah, going back to Mitch, 12 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 4 blocks. You know what I mean? Just being exactly where you need him to be at the right time for 8 points. And a plus 20 from the field, man. There's nothing. There's not much more you can ask Mitchell Robinson to do. It's becoming – it's looking like he's getting his rhythm back, and this is – the Mitch that's here to stay. And I think, like I was saying earlier, the beauty of it is the fact that you can actually interchange these guys. And I think that's what I'm looking forward to in this series with Tibbs. And what he has done is he's making adjustments faster. And that's really all I've really been having an issue with Tibbs over the past few years, not this year. But, you know, sometimes, like, yeah, okay, the game adjustments are good. But I want to see some in-game adjustments. Something's not happening right there. I want to see, like, if you got to not play this guy, or if you have to, you know, there's been times where he did not want to drop Julius from the rotation, not completely, but for a game because of this reason, or he didn't want to drop RJ from a rotation during specific games of the season because he just wanted to, you know, keep the continuity. And, you know, but sometimes certain games call for different things. And he showed that tonight, having Isaiah out there and then just sticking with Mitch and just keeping Mitch out there and doing what he has to do.
Say how many minutes he had?
Mitchell Robinson ended up having, let's double check that, he had 30 minutes, which is big, you know, for Mitchell Robinson coming back. And he was limited to 20 minutes, I believe, and getting back in there, getting 30 minutes. Right. You know, Isaiah only had 17, 18 minutes out there. But, you know, that's what you – it's a chess match. The playoffs is a chess match. You got Nick Nurse, you got Tom Thibodeau out there. They're just playing chess, and that's what you got to do. So, you know, another piece that he put out there is Deuce McBride. You know, Deuce McBride ended up having 21 points. He was 5 for 7 from 3. Man, just coming in, lighting them things up, man. That's what you want to see at this point, is the fact that he hasn't really had a lot of significant playoff rotation minutes in his past. And, you know, the first game you come out and you're basically the offensive savior in some ways. You know what I'm saying? That this team needed. Hitting 5 for 7 from the 3-point line, 7 for 12 from the field, 2 of 2 from the free throw line. From the 3-point, did I say it right? 5 for 7 from the 3-point line and 2 for 2 from the free throw line. And 4 assists, 1 steal, 3 rebounds. Like I said, +37, the highest plus minus on the team. It's the kid, his value is just through the roof, man. Like, and for what you signed him for, that's a steal. And you know, a lot of people were worried after we got rid of Quickly and what we're gonna do with a backup role. And McBride just continues to tell everybody, like, chill out. I got it. Like, I'm good. Y'all gotta worry about it. And he constantly gives credit to Jalen for giving him advice and being in his ear and giving him the right guidance in certain situations. So you gotta give it up to him for that. So shout out to Deuce McBride. You got any thoughts? Tell me how you feel about Deuce, man, and what he's
doing. Deuce, man, I'm like, I love his shot. I like that he got the high arch joint on it. I think that he's like low key with it. He don't go crazy. He's just doing his job. And he keep a low profile with it. He knocking down them jumpers. He's showing that he could be a good backup point guard, which he is. And he's solid. And he was the X factor for the Knicks in this game. Him, Josh, not necessarily X factor because he's a starter.
Right.
But for him to come off the bench. And what did they say? We outscored them. Their 76ers bench had 7. Our bench had 42. And it's almost like, you know, one thing that, what's that dude, the pretty dude with the hair that was on Jalen Brunson?
Kelly Oubre.
Yeah, Oubre was like, he was like, they got starters as their backups, as their reserves. And that was always the thing. Even when the Knicks didn't do well those years, we had like a better bench than we had starters.
Yeah.
So it was, I just see what RBL for MB went 2 for 11 while being guarded by Mitchell.
Yeah, 2 for 11. And that's what, it was 2 for something.
That changed the game right there, boy. Yeah. That changed the game. The other thing is Maxi, but to get back on Deuce. I just think it was lovely to see he had 22?
21.
Yeah, 21 points off the bench in the playoffs? That's a big deal. It might not be like that every night, but Jalen Brunson might get his typical 40.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I think a lot of these dudes, all of them dudes had negatives. They had, what was they plus minus? It was negative.
I mean, the only positives on the team altogether that played were the bench guys with Bogey, Mitch, and Miles, and Deuce. That was it. Nobody else had. Jalen Brunson was a -3. DiVincenzo was a -23.
Thought about DiVincenzo, man? He benched him like early.
I mean, when you're a shooter
and you ain't hitting,
and it's not hitting. I mean, not that he couldn't bring anything else to the team, but when someone else is out there, just the same reason why I didn't bring Hartenstein back in. You know what I mean? When somebody else is in there and they're just being productive, you keep them in. It's less about what you're doing right now and more about what this guy can bring us during this game. You know what I'm saying? Right. And I think that's what played into Dante not getting a lot of minutes in the big time minutes, you know, because a lot of people are like, where's Dante? And other people are asking, like, where's Dante? But yeah, 8 points. He was 3 for 10. And you don't have much margin for error in a game like this, especially when you're up by a certain amount of points and all of a sudden you're down. You know what I mean? You don't have a lot of margin for error to, let's see if the shot starts falling. Like, nah, we don't got it like that. And credit to Coach once again. You know what I mean? We got to keep giving Coach his credit for making an in-game adjustment and not allowing something like that to, you know, mess up the flow of the game. And it's not always about how many shots you're making because, you know, Dante was 3 for 10 and Bogey was 4 for 12. But while Bogey was in there, he was +27. Dante was -23. So, you know, he's completely on the opposite end of the spectrum in terms of how effective he was while he was on the floor. Now, plus minus can get really tricky and sticky with certain situations. But it's basically while you're on the floor, how effective you were. And the coach looked at it and said, this guy's, he's hitting big shots at the right time. He's not shooting great the entire game, but at the right time, you're hitting the shots. It was some threes that he hit toward the end that we just needed, just timely buckets. And I said it the other day, man. I forgot if he was either on this show or it was on the Knicks Nightcap. Shout out to anyone who came out to support the Knicks Nightcap show last Wednesday, which we'll be doing every Wednesday. But like I was saying, is Bogey, he has to be involved. He has to get going, whatever it is. And a lot of people said, like, you know, the second scorer has to be Dante DiVincenzo. And I'm like, because I know Dante DiVincenzo primarily gets a lot of his buckets off of threes and dribble handoffs and, you know, catches in the corner. And a lot of his shots come from the flow of the offense. You know what I mean? It's not like we're going to Dante DiVincenzo. And that's not me taking anything away from Dante DiVincenzo. It's just what I'm saying is, when you're talking about a scoring option, you're talking about someone who has the job of shouldering the load. So you're not going to shoulder the load of scoring on Dante DiVincenzo. He shoots a lot less pull-up jump shots than you think he does. You know what I mean? Most of his threes come off of, you know, passes and assists from other guys. But Bogey has to be the guy when Jalen's not on the floor who has to get a bucket. You know what I mean? It's you're at that wing spot. You can get to the mid-range and hit the shot. You can do it in the post. You can get to the basket at a high level. So we need you to step up. We need you to be effective because there's not many guys you can go to in the playoffs in these certain situations. We talked about how many minutes Precious or Alec weren't going to get. And as you can see, they didn't play a minute. Because, you know, the coach is not going to go deeper than eight guys if he has to, if he absolutely has to. But, you know, that's the thing. Shout out to Bogey for doing what he had to do. What happened? Oh, whoa. Since when was I out here by myself? Y'all wasn't going to tell me I was here by myself.
I'll wait for you to let me in.
My bad.
What's up, I was trying to find the podcast for the game one winners. I found her.
There you go. What's going on, cuzzo? Talk to me, man. How you feeling?
Oh, man, I feel great, man. I was going around. I was talking to people, and I was like, "Yeah, man."
We got the win. I was going around talking to people. Hey, what you think about that win?
I mean. Prior to the game, people were like, who the Knicks playing? I was like, oh, Philly. They were like, oh, well, Knicks had a good run. I was like, what are y'all talking about? Like, we're number two in the East. Like, what do you mean we had a good run? So I was just like, you know what? I'm going to let the game happen and then let the result speak for itself. So we got the game one, right? So we just got to get the next three, and we out of here. Next round.
That's it. It's really that simple. Game one is very important, especially when you're at home.
Hold on, Cuzzo, what you think about the fake joint?
The fake joint.
Oh, you didn't want to put the real one on?
Nah, I ain't going to do this too much. You know, when we win the series, I put the real joint on.
Gotcha. Wow. When we win the series. You know what I mean? It'll be.
I got to look like a winner today. I got the shades on. I ain't playing. And we here.
I can hear it. I can hear how real it is. It sounds good.
You hear that shit all real, boy. I walk around like this with this joint on. Crazy. So I'm having a conversation with random people like, yo, you saw the Knicks game?
You saw the Knicks game?
Right, it was good. How you? We popped this shit online.
Anyway, we talked about Mitch being one of the most important pieces to last night's victory. Of course, we talked about Josh Hart. You got to talk about Josh. Miles McBride. Tell me how you feel about those guys, especially the bench. Let's just talk about the three guys, the only three guys that came off the bench.
And that coach don't play. He run a tight little squad.
He runs a tight ship, bro. So between Miles McBride, Bojan Bogdanovic and Mitchell Robinson, what did you see when it came to how they affected the game once they were implanted into the game and what changed?
Miles McBride, like, come on. Like, I don't think they knew his name, but he came out. He was like, yo, you're going to know tonight.
Facts.
Mitch, he was very aggressive. There was one play that comes to mind where he got a board, and I think he was challenged by Embiid, and he like ripped it away from Embiid, fell on the floor, and then it was like a jump ball after that.
Which was crazy. It shouldn't have been a jump ball.
It shouldn't have been. But whatever. But I love the aggression. I love the wherewithal to like listen, all right. There's only one guy who's really going to compete with me to get this board, and it's going to be Embiid. So let me do what I got to do to hold it down. So I love that. How many blocks did he end up with?
Four.
Four blocks, man. Come on. Impact players right there.
Come on, man. You know, the beauty of this victory, hopefully it doesn't stay like this, but the beauty of this victory is we haven't even mentioned Jalen Brunson. You know what I mean?
And, exactly.
That's the thing about this team. Now we can look at the numbers a little bit more here. Jalen didn't shoot well. He shot 8 of 26 from the field. He was 1 for 6 from three.
He was defended well, though.
He was defended well. I mean, you put
had to
Batum on him. You put Kelly Oubre on him. But
Kelly Oubre was doing his thing on him.
Yeah, but the beauty of it is now, all right, you put your best defenders on Jalen Brunson and you still lose.
Right. It's what like, all right, what do we do? We got to get somebody out there on the side.
Right. What is the adjustment now? So you're gonna keep those same guys in there and have Deuce. You know, let's lock up Deuce now. Let's put him on Bogey. Like, what are you gonna do? And then my thing is that there's no way Jalen's gonna shoot like this again.
I've been telling everybody that they were like, oh, it was a close one. I was just like, yeah, but Jalen had an off night. He's not. You think he's gonna come back in game two and shoot?
Jalen
right
had an off night. DiVincenzo had an off night.
Yep.
Hartenstein didn't look really well. They had negatives. Look, these dudes is like negatives, and even OG had a negative. They said this is the first time he had a negative. This is the plus
first
minus.
Time as a Knick that he had a negative on a
negative plus minus.
First time,
you know. And I feel like this is the first game of the playoffs. I think these brothers is like, you know, like the butterflies, if you want to call it that. Absolutely. I think all of that is out. The 76ers do have more playoff experience, not for nothing.
I mean, they do. They definitely do. I mean, and the thing about it is, to me, when you build your team around a guy like Embiid, like it's scary because what tends to happen is you have to go to him, and everyone knows you're going to go to him. Right. And it's different from guarding a Jalen Brunson, right? When you got a Jalen Brunson and you lock him up, you're locking him up on the perimeter. So essentially, you're still opening up other spots on the floor to be effective that are higher percentage shots. When you're Joel Embiid and you're clogging up the paint, the only shots you're opening are 3-point shots.
Perimeter.
Now, I don't know a team that's going to shoot high percent from three all game long. You know what I mean? So that's the thing. Tom Thibodeau on the way is like, okay, cool. We're going to make sure you keep taking you stick with that game plan, because we trust your 3-point shooters when it comes to how efficient they're going to be. Go ahead. I want you to beat us that way. I would rather you have those guys shoot the threes and beat us that way. Now, Joel Embiid still did his thing. He got hurt. Now, you know, like Dre said, you hate to see him get hurt and let that be the story of this series. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's part of the game. No one gets – we don't have a whole all-star. An entire all-star is not there. Like, I don't want to hear these excuses about Joel Embiid. He was hurt. I don't want to hear it because that's what you're going to hear. Yeah. Oh, you only won because. All right. Well, so what about the fact that we're missing an entire All-NBA player?
Yo, preach, man.
Like, it's to me, it doesn't. The goalposts steadily get shifted when it comes to the conversation revolving the Knicks.
Right.
And then Kelly Oubre, before it was hilarious. Kelly Oubre starts talking about what'd he say? Yeah, I can't wait to play in a garden, and they got a bunch of people sitting in a celebrity row who are not going to watch the game. And I'm like, that's how you know you don't know what you're talking about. These guys are Knicks fans. Like,
these dudes are into it.
Yeah, Ben Stiller is a Knicks fan. You know what I mean? Right. Like, Tracy Morgan is a Knicks fan.
Tracy Morgan, are you kidding? Yo.
Chris Rock is a Knicks fan. Like, you're bugging. You know what I mean? Like, these guys are not just there. Even if they gave them the seats for free just to show the hell up, they're fans. They are real fans. So, you know, I mean, it's like RBS is the real test is the second round. And that's what I'm looking forward to because more than likely we're going to have to play the Bucks. I mean, that's the winner of that series is whoever we have to play. And, you know, I don't want to look past the Sixers. They're not done. They still have an MVP caliber player on their team. I also talked about on the Knicks nightcap with Phil and Eru and Billy. Yeah, appreciate that. Appreciate that. I talked about how effective a guy like, you know, they said, who do you think on the Sixers is going to be a guy that we're going to have to deal with that you really don't expect? And immediately I was like, Kyle Lowry, because it's just He knows how to make the right plays at the right time. Yeah. He's a pest.
Doing thing. Very yeah. annoying.
He's a pest. He hits the shots at the right time. He's not going to have 20, 10, 5, but he's going to be exactly where you need him to be and make the right plays and the hustle plays and on defense and stuff like that. So, you know, you can't come in and just think that, all right, this guy's hurt, we're good. No, yeah. like they got vets. They got vets over there. We saw Kyle Lowry and how he helped us. I mean, well, he helped get us out of there last year in the offseason, in the postseason with Miami. You know what I mean? So that's not a guy that you want to slack on when it comes to just what he can bring to an organization that's trying to win, man. That organization's been trying to win with Joel Embiid for so long.
Yep.
And it would really hurt that organization if they lose in the first round, whether he's hurt or not. You know what I'm saying? I think that they are going to try whatever they can to win this series, because I think a lot is riding on the health of Joel Embiid and what they should do going forward. Like, yeah, of course he's under contract, but now do you start taking phone calls? You know what I mean? Like, do you start looking elsewhere? Because this guy, he goes up for a dunk and he falls on his knee and it's like, now he's on his back. And speaking of that,
I thought he was done. But his eyes rolling back his head like that, unevenly? Yeah,
his eyes wasn't rolling. Only one eye was blinking.
Yeah, he kept doing that. It was like a few times that night he kept going blinking. It was like one eye blinking.
I was like, yo, what is going on, bro?
And I thought people were going to say he was a clone.
Bro, I'm like, that's the only time where stuff like that starts to happen. And I'm like, yo, like, what really be going on? Because dude laid there and he's just sitting there and he's like,
yeah, one eye's blinking and one eye rolling in the back of his head. It's just like, yo, what's...
I'm like, did this eye get dry at all? Like, what's... I know you gotta add a little bit of moisture to that eye.
I thought he was going to cry. I thought he was finished when he was laying there like that.
Yeah. I thought
he was finished.
Yeah.
Then he got up. I was like, all right, because they was like trying to walk. He was like, nah, I got this.
He's like, I got it. Once I saw him walk off in the zone, I said, he'll be back.
He's not going to make it through the series.
I don't think so.
They say he's questionable.
Even if he makes it through the series, he ain't making it through the playoffs. There's just no way.
Yeah. He's questionable for the second game already.
Yeah. Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's questionable. So
he's not making it to the second round. I mean, because he's not making it past us, but
not
past
him, right.
but he's not gonna make it through the series.
I don't think, especially because we're a physical team, bro. Even if we don't bang you up, we're gonna make sure we're putting enough pressure on you to just make you think twice.
Yeah.
Mitchell Robinson being in there, not jumping, staying grounded, keeping your hands up. That's what I need you to do, because that's the only thing that's been stopping you from being effective all these years. And of course, like Dre said earlier, a little bit of his man body kind of finally came in there. You know what I mean? He's looking like an adult.
He got finally. That man weight. Remember I was talking about that, Ricky?
Yeah. It's about like time.
Wilson didn't know how to carry.
It's a big deal. He got a man body. Dudes be scared going in there at the basket. He's down right. there.
And it's not just the shot blocking now. Before it was just the shot blocking. Now it's just his defensive presence. You know what I mean? And knowing that even if you do have a shot on the inside, like, all right, I still got to worry about it. You know, Joel Embiid tried plenty of post moves and pivots and head fakes and all kinds of stuff. And it just wasn't working. It just wasn't working. The only other thing that didn't bother me. I can't say bother because that's the wrong word. I did want to see OG get a little bit more. What's the word?
Offensive touches.
Not necessarily. I mean, because I know in this case we're not just gonna start going to him offensively. But just a little bit more aggression with those shots, you know what I mean? And don't hunt shots because that's not who you are. But, you know, I don't want to see them actively forcing everyone else to beat us outside of Jalen Brunson. Because, I mean, that's your best bet. No matter what your team is, your best bet is to get the ball out of Jalen Brunson's hands. That's like, you have to do that. But outside of that, OG just... Everything he brings to the court is just, it's the right timing and just knowing how to be at the right spot and helping out in the passing lanes. But like you said, he was a negative five today, but a lot of the starting unit, they didn't do well because it was just a lot for them to figure out. You know what I mean? But talk to me about what you guys saw from OG, because, you know, we're going to need OG to be effective. Like, everyone was saying when everyone was out, I was saying, I'll say, I know Randall's hurt, I know OG's hurt, I know Mitch is hurt, but the two main guys I needed to get back before I saw Julius back was OG. Mitch and OG, and especially OG, because I don't think this team goes pretty far without OG. You know what I mean? Especially if you run into the Celtics.
But I think OG is that one guy we can't afford to lose.
Right. Good. Now elaborate. Keep going to OG.
So OG, he's the defensive player. I feel like if he does nothing on the offensive end, mm-hmm. he's that guy who gets into the lanes. He knocks the balls down. The stuff that doesn't show up on the stats. Like if he swats the ball away, if he's getting in there and making it hard or making people switch or forcing a turnover, even if he's not getting the stat as a turnover for the turnover, I just think OG is that guy when it comes to it. And those putback dunks, like I said, I'm a big fan of putting back those dunks and not light layups. Right. You know what I mean? Just the higher efficiency when it comes to that. I just think it's a big deal. I just think that the first game, we didn't play our best basketball, and we still pulled it off. I think that's a big deal with him being involved. I think him having a -3, that was the first one. I don't see that happening often. I think with the matchup with the 76ers, I really want to see Embiid being there, but I don't feel like they have a chance without Embiid in the against the Knicks. I just think that the Knicks are dogs. I think that OG is a big dog when it comes to like what we bring out there, even if he's not scoring. Because if you have the next game, if Jalen Brunson scores what he already scored, what do he have? 21? 22 points. You know what I'm saying? On a bad night.
Yeah.
Right.
And 22 points. You know what I'm saying? And I think if DiVincenzo, he gets back to his normal self, there's just like a lot of stuff that, you know, the Knicks can offer on a night-to-night basis. I also don't think that Josh Hart is going to have a night like he had every night, but it was nice because he was 2-9 earlier,
mm-hmm.
and then he started knocking down that 1-3. I thought he was gonna miss, but it looked like he was trying to hunt for that foul.
Yeah, that
was his crazy. Legs kicked in the air, and he still made that, and he was screaming because he was going like this, like he was like, "Where's the foul?"
Right.
And it went in, and he was like, "Yeah," like he was all excited, and I was like, "Yo, this boy, that's just one of those nights where you start seeing that, and you be like, yo, we gonna win this." It's just like when you start seeing the magic happen. It's just like, yo, we got this one. Because I felt like Kyle Lowry was going to do that for the 76ers, and I started to get nervous.
Yeah.
He started knocking down shots. I was like, yo, y'all got to get on him because he the one that's going to make it where he's like, all right, I'm going to knock this down, and I'm going to get in there. And he's just like you said, he's annoying. But Mitchell Robinson getting on him, I think, is a big – and what I love about what Mitchell Robinson is doing – you can say what you want, but like, even if he's not super effective or stopping Embiid, I think he was the reason for that injury because he's making Embiid go super hard. He's throwing it off the backboard, you jumping it. Now you're doing a lot.
Right.
But Mitchell Robinson is making him work.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about it. He's like, oh, because he didn't have nowhere else to go. That was the only thing he could do was throw it off the backboard and try to finish. And then he landed funny on that bad knee because when you're trying to do your thing, you ain't think about which leg you landed on.
Exactly. Right. And I always said, as someone who's had a plethora of knee injuries, when you're playing ball and you jump in and you're landing, you don't throw all that pressure on one leg. I've always learned that. And that's the same thing. I actually watched the video on Derrick Rose a long time ago. And the guy was saying that a lot of the times he has a lot of momentum going up and then he lands it all on one leg. And that's one thing Derrick Rose did a lot. He would land, if you watch a lot of his old footage, he would do these crazy athletic dunks and he would land on one leg and then drop the other leg down. And after a while, like, it's not about, people think you really injure a lot of your muscles off the takeoff. You injure it a lot off the descent back to the ground and catching, you know, bracing your body weight, especially when you're a big guy and you're bracing your body weight. You don't drop all that weight on one leg. You know what I'm saying? So
you remember that old Dominique Wilkins commercial? It was an old commercial. And they gave him a shoe he was pushing or something. I think he said it was like a sneaker. He was like, because it ain't the takeoffs that I worry about. He was like, it's the landings that hurt.
Yeah, right. Right.
You know what I mean? And it's like, that's one of those things. Like, if you got to be conscious about, but like what I like about what happened again You're not thinking about landing on both feet when you fucking, you're trying to do a little fancy play and you get, when you hanging on to the rim a little longer, one leg is going to extend longer than the other.
Right.
I mean, unless you do a double hand jam, you can land on both feet. But if you got one arm like this, one leg is going to hang lower than the other. Man, boom, he landed on a bad knee. He kind of should have hung it up for the whole, the rest of the season. But it's the playoffs. You got to get out there.
They definitely need him.
But what are you going to do? He's going to keep hurting that knee. It's going to get worse.
Yeah, you just fixed it,
if you call it that. It just healed up. And it's just like, I want him to. Go ahead. But play for your squad.
He's a competitor. He is somebody who wants to play. Like, I keep hearing people say, oh, why isn't Tibbs resting Jalen? Jalen wants to play. Like, he's not asking for rest. He's not trying to save himself for the playoffs. Like, he wants to play. Like, practice is what makes you better. So if you're in real game situations, like, you're going to stay on it, right? So I feel like even the time between the last game and the and game one was too much time. So
I think that
is kind of what hurt his gameplay. I'm speculating, of course. I don't know.
Oh, Jalen?
Jalen, yeah.
Absolutely.
And so that's, I think that's what affected his game one, but I think he got it out of his system. I think game two is definitely going to be something special. When Embiid, when he came back, like he wasn't even jumping like that. Like he didn't
dunk. He wasn't doing nothing.
Right? I think they said that was his first dunk.
Exactly. I think that's the reason why it didn't go too well. Like, I think he forgot that he was hurt because, you know, he had a whole game where he didn't like really feel it.
Yeah, because Mitchell got him feeling like, oh, I gotta go. There you go. Go ahead.
Yeah, he's a competitor. You can't take that away from him. But to answer your question about OG, I think he was a little, for the lack of a better term, sheltered in the fact that
passive.
I think that's a better word, because the people who usually are out there scoring and doing their thing, they couldn't find their game. So I don't think it was in his, you know, game plan to be like, all right, let me take over. So I think he was just like waiting for them to get into their stride so that he could do his thing. So again, when we see game two come and Jalen is playing like Jalen does, you're going to see OG come out and he's going to start doing what he does, because Jalen is going to be able to set him up to do that. Defensively, I don't know what would change in that play, because I think he's more of a defensive player than anything.
Right.
So I think that should have been turned up, you know, to 10, knowing that this is game one, you're at home and, you know, you got to make a statement. So I don't know. We'll see the adjustments. We'll see how everything looks going into game two. I love that Josh Hart took those last 2 3-pointers, because they were letting him shoot. Like, they were straight up.
Yeah, if they give it, now you got to step up and take them shot.
And I think that's what he was yelling at. I don't think he was yelling at the ref so much as, oh, you're not going to guard me.
That's what he said after that. He was like, y'all going to give me them shots? All right.
Knock him down. So I love that. I love it. Yeah, the Garden was crazy.
Garden was
losing it.
And that's the thing.
They had to, I mean, when they trying to burn Embiid's jersey, I'm like, y'all always get stupid.
Yeah, it's too much. We don't. Anybody who takes part of that kind of shit, like, it's corny to me at this point. Especially like, it started with the LeBron thing. That was in 2010, y'all. That's 14 years ago.
And those were LeBron fans.
Yeah, and they were LeBron fans doing that. Like, we're not even Embiid fans. So you mean to tell me, as a Knicks fan, you wouldn't bought an Embiid jersey?
Right. Who had that jersey?
Yeah. Like, what are y'all doing? So anyway, that's just real corny to me, and that's, you know, that's whatever. But couple key battles that we definitely wanted they mention. Dre, you did mention earlier the bench points. We outscored them 42-7.
Not even close.
Our fast breaks 27-11, and second chance points 26-8. And that's, you know, like we were saying earlier with Mitch. And those second chance points and the offensive rebounds, like, it's very hard to beat a team when the disparity in the rebound, I think it was 21. What is it? How many rebounds did we have? We had 55 and they had 33, 22 rebounds. You're not going to win a game of basketball when you're being out rebounded by 22 rebounds. It's just not going to happen. You know what I mean? So I think, personally, just the makeup of this team, and everyone was going to, oh, Now, I understand, you know, I was talking to Phil. Shout out to Phil Porto. Shout out to my guys over at Morning Brew Crew Sports. I understand why he was worried about the Sixers, but the reason why I wasn't worried about the Sixers was how we matched up with them. I know what they are and the makeup of the roster, you know what I mean, and how they're built, but just how we match up with them has always worked out in our favor. Now, there was one game this year, I think the second or last time we played them, they came in and they had all the answers. They had all the right answers. And personally, I think that was the reason why when we came back, I think it was it? I think we played in back-to-back games. Or it was like they played us and then there was another game and then we played them again. Like we came in there and we dragged them all over the floor because it's just, we knew who we are. We know the culture that we have and the culture we've built. And I firmly believe that this series might go to five max in the Knicks' favor. And that's not just me being a Knicks fan. It's just from the matchups. It's from Joel Embiid not being 100%. He's damn near 75%. It's the fact that we basically beat the hell out of y'all last night, and Jalen Brunson was 8-26. That's just not something that you're gonna see. You're not gonna see Dante DiVincenzo shooting the way he shot, especially when you know things are going. Isaiah Hartenstein, like I think they got lucky with so much, and we still rebounded and did everything we had to do.
Yeah.
So you know what I mean, I think that now they will make adjustments. Say that again, Coach.
We're not gonna talk about that though. We're just gonna talk about how we got lucky.
Yeah, of course.
I want them to keep talking like that.
Like, I just don't understand. Like, all right, so there used to be a period of time where we did not have a roster, right? We finished with 50 wins this season.
50.
Can we get a little bit of credit for that? Like, we got lucky 50 times?
Come on.
I don't understand it.
That's why when I hear these guys on TNT, and, you know, it's clear, like Stephen A. Smith, I think it was last week, the week before. He was talking about the Knicks team, and he's just saying that. And then you got Grimes out there, and I'm like, bro, you're a Knicks fan, and you don't know Grimes isn't a Knick anymore. And this is the shit that I'm talking about. Like these guys aren't watching the game, and even Kendrick Perkins said it. Yeah, even Kendrick Perkins was talking about it because they asked Kendrick. They said, listen. Like, well, how do you feel about these guys saying this and that? And he said they clearly don't watch the games.
Right.
They don't watch the games. You know, and he wasn't trying to disrespect them. He's like, listen, they're too busy to watch the games. They literally are too busy. Like these guys,
it's their job though.
It's their job.
They have somebody watching for them. They watch. Yeah,
they have someone to watch the games and report back to them. They're reading notes. They're not actually sitting there watching. And then of course, Shaq's response is, which was corny as hell. Can a non-Hall of Famer talk about a Hall of Famer? It's like, all right.
Can Shaq, a non-Hall of Famer talk about what?
A Hall of Famer. And it's like, Shaq, did you watch the game? Do you know what you're talking about? That's it. Because if you're sitting here saying that you don't understand why Jalen Brunson is this or that or whatever, that there's no way you have that opinion if you're watching the game.
Yeah.
There's no possible way.
But look at the stat line. Look at the stat line. Like, This guy is in, like, there was, I think that you posted something like this. There was like a media collage where everyone was saying, oh, you know, Jalen Brunson is not going to do much for the Knicks. And he's a 1A and this and that. You think Jalen was just like, oh, well, I guess that's it.
No.
He played his game. My man, he took a franchise that kept saying that would never win, and he took them. And he's helping them win games.
Yep.
Like, when is it going to be enough? We came in second. Like, I don't know if I can say this enough. We finished second in the Eastern Conference.
Mm-hmm.
Just behind the Celtics, who's playing out of control.
Yeah.
Like, we're right after them.
Yep.
We still don't get no love?
And you're being led by a guy. And that's the thing I love about Jalen is, he never complains. I mean, he'll complain to a ref every now and then. Yeah. But in terms of not getting the recognition. He doesn't complain about that shit, bro.
Not at all.
He's fine with it. I think he loves the fact that he doesn't get certain recognition from guys because, you know, it gives him that chip on his shoulder. Like, he has the biggest chip on his shoulder, bro. I've never seen anybody with a chip that big because he just, he, everything, like, for example, if you think him not being selected for the Olympic team, it doesn't bother him, like, come on. At this point, like, and I get it. I get it. Like, these guys, you knew who the team was going to be because they wanted to, you know, it was KD's going to, it might be KD's last time, Steph, LeBron, all of these guys. So, of course, you want to put all the guys, you want to put the dream team together. And Jalen Brunson was left out of that. And, you know, it's okay. That's fine. Like, I completely understand it. There is also a side to it where they have enough scorers on that team. So, I mean, I'm not too upset about that. I would have liked to see him get the recognition. But let's be honest. The role that he would have had.
Yeah, it wouldn't have done anything.
It wouldn't have been. Yeah, it wouldn't have been worth it. You would have had him out there for a couple minutes just for him to be the scorer. And then that's pretty much it. You know what I mean? And I don't want to see Jalen, you know, in that role, especially now when he's on a high roll. Especially if you have a late run into the postseason. You don't want to see Jalen Brunson out there just a couple weeks later. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't want to see him out there trying to, you know, get his legs back and all that. Nah, I need him to get some rest. So, but I do think that things, he's one of those guys that he doesn't say anything, but he'll internalize it. And he's just like, all right, I'm just going to prove you wrong. Yeah. And that's just who he is as a person.
I love that.
Yeah. So you can't ask for much more. You can't ask for much more. So, I mean, there's not much else we can add to it. we can put the stats up here once more. Let's just run through it real quick for the other guys that we didn't really talk about. Isaiah Hartenstein, 6 points, 3 assists, 7 rebounds, 4 for 4 from the free throw line. These guys are hitting their free throws, man. You got to shout out these guys for that.
Yeah, I noticed that. I was like, these boys knocking them joints down.
Yeah,
like,
man. I'm proud of these guys for doing that. You know, especially if you're not doing a lot of other things, just get to the free throw line and knock them down. So yeah, he finished 1 for 4 from the line, from the field, actually. Bojan, I think we talked about Bojan. He's 4-12 from the field, 13 points, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 of 4 from the free throw line, and 3 of 6 from the 3-point line. Like I said, we're gonna need Boggs to continue to get back in rhythm because he is, to me, he's not the second best player on the team, but he's the second most reliable scoring option outside of Jalen Brunson, in my opinion. I could be wrong.
Who's this, Bojan?
Bojan, yeah, yeah.
He's a shooter.
Yeah. And
you know, I like Bojan for his big body, man. He was backing dudes down. Like, he plays bull.
Yeah, he's a bully at his size. A lot of, he still plays that old school wing style of play. And a lot of guys, a lot of the skinnier wings in the new age really can't deal with that. So he can take advantage of that. You know what I mean? And that's what I do like about Boggs. But, you know, I want to see him, to, you know, stay a little bit more consistent. Let's keep getting him the ball. And I think that's the plan, is to keep him going, because he can give you a lot when he's actually out there. And he's playing well. Dante DiVincenzo, 8 points, 2 assists, 2 rebounds. Block of steal, 2 of 5 from the 3-point line, 3 of 10 from the field. Hopefully we can get him, you know, more acclimated, get him his head back into it. It's not like he was playing a bad game. He just shot bad. A lot of these guys, even when they shoot bad, they don't play bad games. Same thing with Brunson, 8 of 26. He did not play bad. He just shot bad. Yeah. He still gave you seven assists and 7 rebounds at 6'4". You know what I'm saying? 5 turnovers is something that I know he's very upset about, but this is Jalen Brunson. I'm not concerned. I'm sure that he'll get back into rhythm tomorrow when we see these guys. That's just, to me, is the most important thing, is to get those two at home, not to rest and have, you know, so you can relax, which these guys don't do, which is another reason why I think they're going to go very far in the postseason, even despite not having Julius. I'm not saying we're going to win the championship, but I think we're going to be a hard team to beat because we, game in, game out, we do exactly what we need to do.
Yeah.
And that's just all you need a team to do night in and night out. When you got a Tom Thibodeau led team, it's just, you know, that's all he asks. That's all he asks from you guys is just to come out and play your heart out. Deuce McBride playing the way he does. You gotta keep it going. You gotta keep it going. Any final words you guys got before we get up out of here?
I'm just liking the way our odds are looking. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to it. Because first round, they counting us out. They act like you said, Ricky. They acting like we got the number two seed by accident. Like just by luck, you get the number two seed.
Right.
We lost some games that we should have won, and we still got the number two seed, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We dealt with injuries, and we still got the number two seed.
Right.
If we had a healthy squad with a healthy Julius, we'd have been like right behind.
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's like a lot of games with no injured on Anunoby without Julius.
Right.
So I talked to some guys last night. We were watching a Haney fight. So it was like two Lakers fans, and it like seemed like everybody else there was Knicks fans.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying, what were they saying that about the Knicks? You know, they talk about how everybody jump out the window. We win one game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But they were saying that Julius is going to be shipped out. They saying he out of there.
Yeah, I heard that too.
And I was just like, that's Tibbs' guy.
How do y'all feel about that? Like, what do you? Let's
think about that. What do you think? It depends on how these playoffs go, because at the end of the day, I think it could be a blessing in disguise that he's not there,
right?
Because he typically plays very poorly in the playoffs. That's been his biggest thing against Julius, is that he plays poorly in the playoffs. Not saying that that's how it would have been, because it was looking really good this year. He was looking really good. Him and Brunson together for a full year.
Right.
I think that it was looking real nice. I don't buy into the whole thing that without him, we're fine. But with him, I wanted to see them three playing OG, Julius, and Brunson right. be in there. And right. then having the back then, having the centers we have. I'm like really looking forward to this whole thing being like a, you know, like a dynasty looking kind of a thing. Not to say Julius is dynasty worthy, but I've been saying he's not a number one option. But it's now we know it's Brunson's team. But these double teams on Brunson wouldn't be happening if we had Julius on the floor. That's what I was saying.
And you know, just to add on to that, saying that Julius Randle is a second op is not a number one option is less of a disrespectful remark than people try to take it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying I hate the guy. It's just that playing style wise, you got to have someone who I don't know how to explain it, but saying a Jalen, like that's literally exactly the kind of guy you can have when Julius Randle is your second best player. You know what I mean? Well,
let me see if I can add on to that, because Jalen keeps the ball moving where Julius slows the ball down.
Yes.
Right.
Stops it.
So, in clutch situations, Julius can do that, but you want Brunson to have the ball in clutch situations,
right?
Mm-hmm. So, I think a lot of people they sense that, and that's why they say, "Oh, we're good without Julius." But I don't believe it. Like they have been hating on Julius since the second season he was with the Knicks, and right. I don't know why, because he stepped his game up to an elite level where he was an all-star several seasons. Yeah. So I think people just don't understand the value that he has, because when he's in game mode, like he's pushing people around. Like nobody's matching up with him.
Right.
Like in situations, I think the only people in the league that could really match up with him is probably like LeBron. Like, I think he likes going at those guys, but LeBron can handle it. Like, he's been there. Like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not many people that can match up with Julius like that. I think that's why we go so hard with Miami, because you got another player like Butler who has like that same mindset. He doesn't feel like anybody is better than him, so he's going to keep going.
Right.
Julius has that. Jalen has it too, but the way his gameplay is, It looks a little bit better because it's constant movement. It's not slowing down. It's not ISO. It's just different. I think with both of them there, defensive teams, they would have a lot to handle.
Right.
And I think without him there is a hole.
The other thing.
Yeah.
what do you think about this that I'm hearing is what makes him expendable is Josh Hart now. Because Josh Hart is playing like small forward, power forward, right? Sometimes like shooting guard, like on the defensive end. It seems like he's like filling in all of those voids that Julius can. He's a better rebounder than Julius.
Yeah.
Julius is like, I guess you could say like a poor rebounder for his position, but I don't want to say.
I don't think he looks for rebounds. So Julius, Josh Hart looks for rebounds.
Like Josh Hart is going everywhere to get those rebounds.
Yes.
I'm not going to say Julius is a bad rebounder because he averages.
He's
not even that. He's not even standard. He's not. He's actually above average as a power forward. He averages double digit rebounds as a power forward. So I mean.
Which he should because of his position, right? But
right,
when you
look at some of guys, Josh Hart, right?
Josh Hart was jumping in there, filling in for the power forward position mm-hmm. some nights and grabbing crazy rebounds. And they say he's like the best rebounder after the centers.
He's the best. You know what I mean? He's the best rebounding guard in the league. Yeah,
in the league, right? Yeah. So you know he's looking for that. And I'm not saying that he replaces what he doesn't score like Julius scores. He's not averaging a double double every night like Julius does. Whatever the case, because even on a bad night, you know Julius is gonna average a double double.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
He's like that. You know what I'm saying?
The thing about Hart is, I mean,
he got Hart.
I just said it right. Exactly. And it's different when you're playing with your head versus playing with your heart. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's the difference that you see when you compare anyone to Josh Hart. Honestly, it's not just Julius. Just a lot of these guys, you know what I mean? A lot of these guys aren't going in there and jumping through four or five people to grab a rebound. You know, you're not going to see that all the time. But that's what separates Josh. And I always say he's my favorite Nick, man. You need at least one of those guys on your roster if you want to win. Because you got one guy who's always going to just get into the paint, take tough shots, make the right read. When he doesn't have a jump shot, he's going to pass it to the right guy. And on defense, just sacrificing your body and being there, diving on the floor. Like, he's our Dennis Rodman. You know what I'm saying? And, yes. And that's exactly what you need. You need one of those guys every single time. And it doesn't matter the makeup of your team, because if you have a guy like that, and, you know, it's kind of like a Robert Horry. You know what I mean? Robert Horry was that kind of guy. He was never a superstar, never the best guy on the team, but he hustled. He took the tough shots. Yep. He made those tough plays because he understood his role. And there's something about a guy that actually understands his role and he lives his role. You know what I mean? And you know, a lot of guys try to outlive their role. They try to step out of their own box, and that's kind of what puts them into the positions that they have, where they're not allowed to be as effective as they can be because they're trying to be a player that they're not. But you know, when it comes to Josh, I mean, when it comes to Julius, I don't necessarily know how far we can make it without Julius. I don't know. I'll say this. I don't think they're going to try to trade Julius, but I do think they'll be listening to calls. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure at this point, as an organization, you have to. And I don't think that's a bad thing. That's another thing about it. As an organization, it's a business. You got to listen to phone calls. But I do think those phone calls were just straight up like, I don't know about that before. Now it's kind of like, well, what else? What are you calling me for? Let me hear it. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure they're listening. But I also don't feel like they're looking to get rid of him now because of how successful this team is, because actually they don't know how successful this team is going to be. Exactly. If we're being 100% honest, are we winning a championship this year? If everything falls right, possibly. We've beaten every single team in the league, except for OKC. OKC is the only other team. And unfortunately, there's somebody we can play in the playoffs. So, in the finals. So, but regardless, like, I don't think we can't beat anyone we'd run into. But I do think we need a little bit more offensive. Like, the game would go a lot different if we're playing against the Celtics than it did last night. Because there's too many guys that you can't. Embiid's hurt. Cool. Now, you got Jason Tatum. You got Jaylen Brown. You got Porzingis. Like, it's a little bit of a different dynamic. And, you know, you might not survive an 8-26 shooting game from Jalen Brunson. You know what I'm saying? So things do change. So I'm not going to sit here and say that, yeah, we don't need Julius. You know what I mean? That would be ignorant as hell to say. But if there isn't a Julius, I guarantee you they're going to bring someone in that's going to be able to bring you something of that value.
Yeah.
Because the point is, there's still something we need. Yeah. And I think that's what it boils down to. Yes. I'm not going to sit here and say that I don't like this team. And I love this team. I love this roster. But I don't think this is a championship winning roster just yet. Because I do think there's another piece missing. Would that piece be Julius Randle? I don't know, because I haven't seen this roster playing at this level with Julius Randle yet. We saw it in January all the way up to February before he got hurt. But that was a different team than this team. Like, they were running off of a lot of good energy, I think, at that point. You got OG coming in there playing defense and dudes not necessarily needing the ball. You give Jalen and Julius some more space. So I think a lot of the winning that came right after the OG trade before Randle got hurt had a lot to do with just continuity. But I think this is a different team. I think culture-wise, there's just a style of play that's been a lot different with this roster as of recent, that I'm not sure how Julius Randle fits in this, because I haven't seen him play this style of basketball where we're just swinging the ball around, you know what I mean? And the ball's not stopping. So I got to see that before I can make the judgment that Julius isn't the guy that we need for this team. But at the end of the day, you're either going to bring Julius back or there's going to be someone else of that elk that needs to be there in order for us to get to the next level. And I think that's what the front office is focused on. They're focused on getting us to that next level. So if that's getting Julius healthy, or if that's finding whoever we can make a move for to do that. First of all, we got enough number one picks to make a lot of things happen that even the Julius Randle trade might not even be necessary.
I heard that KD might be an option.
I'm good. As much as I love KD. All right. Let me wisely answer this.
There you go. Take your time. You don't got to, say the first thing.
That was emotional. It was emotional as hell. It was emotional as hell. So,
but before you articulate your thoughts, when I first heard that, I was like, nah, no thanks. But right. Then, the more I thought about it.
Right.
You know what? And I didn't think it was possible, because he said, "Oh, Knicks aren't cool." But I saw an interview where he was saying, KD is not it, you guys." Maybe not. But
he said the interview where he apologized, right?
He didn't apologize. He kind of explained why he said what he said, and it made sense. So I was like, "All right, I'll give you that pass." And so, all right, so go ahead. What do you think?
So the problem I have with KD at this point is not the player, right? We're not talking about the talent and skill, because we're just talking about give me KD and his talent and leave all that other shit aside, then we're taking KD. You know what I'm saying? But all of the other shit is kind of what makes KD who he is as well. Dealing with, personally, I don't like the fact that everywhere he goes, I don't want anything I say to bite me in the ass, right? But he hasn't really shown leadership mentality. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Which we have.
I don't think we need that here.
We don't, and that's what I'm saying. Which we have. We have the leadership mentality.
That's actually a reason why it would work. So
why it would work, right? Because where did it work? It worked in a place where there was a bunch of leadership there.
Oh, right.
In Golden State.
Yep.
Nowhere else he played was that there.
Right.
There was no presence of leadership in Brooklyn. There's barely any presence in Phoenix.
Nope.
And in OKC, there was no leadership.
Nope.
You didn't know who the leader was.
Do you think Tibbs could handle?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Let me tell you this.
You think he would respect Tibbs enough to
go in? Absolutely.
Okay. So that sounds like another reason why it would work.
This is the one thing, you know, he's older now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You look at it like the squad where he had somebody like Russell Westbrook, why that didn't work. You look at like now, they losing to Minnesota. It's sad over there. So sad. What I've been hearing is that, you know, we saw the interview where he was talking about how, you know, his family wanted him to go to the Knicks as opposed to like Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, right.
Just imagine, right? Because who he'd be replacing in our roster would be Julius Randle anyway.
Right. It's the only way. Right?
So it's not like much would change. So right. Just imagine Jalen Brunson, DiVincenzo, KD, Hartenstein, OG Anunoby.
So that is a championship roster.
Right. So
that's a championship roster.
Right. So now let's say, because now he doesn't have to be like him. And who are you double teaming now? You can't double team Jalen Brunson.
Nope.
You can't double team. It would be outrageous. Right. And then who we have off the bench, like we wouldn't even have to do much.
Why did you bring this up, Rick?
I'm just saying, like, we wouldn't have to do much, right?
It's a possibility.
My only concern, because all that shit he talked about the Knicks.
Not being cool.
He said they weren't cool at that time.
Yeah.
Which.
So now you look like a chump coming when now.
It's true. No, but it was true.
It was true. This is why I'm saying I'm upset with Rick for bringing this up, because now it's making me think, like, yo, hold on.
It's a possibility.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he would replace that. But so the things that have to happen. So I don't know. I feel like KD's soft, like on the defensive end of the ball. But we also, that was the weak point of Julius Randle. You just be replacing him. He's just a better scorer.
I think he's a better defender.
Championship pedigree.
He's a better defender effort wise than Julius. He gives more consistent defensive effort than Julius does. And I think that's the problem that I have with Julius, is there's sometimes where it's not that he doesn't play defense. It's the effort. It's not that he can't. It's that he doesn't. Right. You know what I mean? It's like a conscious decision to not do it.
These niggas is happy.
What up? How you doing, Dante? First of all, don't get me started with you. I'm going to shout you out in a second. So let me get to you in a second. But, you know, I mean, you know, long story short, I don't want to start signing a petition for a KD trade. Nah. But the more you think about it, it's kind of a perfect fit.
That's all I'm saying. Look, I'm gonna leave.
Yo, we got like 8 first round picks. Go ahead, my bad.
That's what I'm saying. We have everything that would make it work. We know,
and we finished second.
Exactly,
we finished second.
And he appreciates the organization right now, so you know he'll come in. Like all the chips can fall into place. I'm not saying that it will. I'm just saying that there isn't a reason to think that it's crazy. That's it.
How old is KD now?
I think he's 35. He's a little bit younger than me.
How old is Julius?
28.
I'm sticking with Julius.
Off that alone?
Just the age.
This is what I'm saying, Dre. Like, if you really break it down, like,
he hasn't played the second half of the season. Postseason,
he's 35.
Having another surgery. Like, you're taking him? Listen, I'm not saying that let's get rid of Randle. When people were like, oh, I can't stand Randle, hope we trade him. I was saying, nah, man. Like, I want Randle to be like, I like Randle with us right now. Like, he made the Knicks cool again. If you know, I can borrow that phrase from KDK, you don't mind, right? Like, he made the Knicks cool again. Like, people actually wanted to come here. So I'm not ready to ship him out just because he's hurt or, you know, there's a better option. Like, I'm just saying that there's possibilities out there that we can consider.
Dante is crazy, bro. Yeah, so, all right. just to end this KD, where did it come from?
What, that it's a possibility?
Ricky started that shit. Yes.
Yeah, how did we start?
I just asked, what do you think about it? Because I, like I said, like when I first thought of it, I was like, nah. But then the more I thought about it, I was like, yo, it's a real possibility.
It's a real
you
possibility.
Think like they're getting chased out of their series right now.
Yeah.
I don't think he's gonna want to go back there.
Personally, man. This is the other side of it. The other side of it is KD has shown that he likes to go where things are working out.
Yeah.
That is his.
See, that's the softness I mean about KD.
Right. That's the part. That's the other part that I don't appreciate about him. But if you're talking about KD, the player,
don't care.
Right, but if he's here, if you got to get rid of Julius, let it be KD.
Let it be.
Because I don't see who else we like really giving away that Julius is like that we would fill in for like. Not that there's no one else, but for it to be a step up, for it to be something that works. If we're going to lose picks.
An all-star for an all-star. Like, I just don't see why anybody would have a problem with it.
Yeah, I think it's a good fit because it answers all of the problems that we have on the offensive end. It doesn't allow you to double team. The ball doesn't stop with Kevin Durant.
Exactly.
He's unguardable. Like, there's no reason why him at the four spot doesn't work. It's a perfect fit.
And I could see Jalen and KD playing well together.
They would love playing with each other.
I absolutely.
And you know,
it would be a wrap. Just think about it. Well, are the Boston Celtics better than the Knicks in the East? If that one person, you kidding?
If we had KD.
Yeah.
No.
The if Knicks would be number one. If we got number two in the East this year, five or six games from the Nets. We dropped like 3, 4, 5, 6 games, that close games that we could have had if we had a healthy squad.
And then you add OG in there?
Yeah.
And OG stays?
Come on, man. Let's be real. We got
rid of all the slouches.
We're resigning OG, number one. So Jalen and OG
staying.
Jalen and OG are going to be teammates for a long time. Josh Hart, OG.
Yeah,
Josh Hart, OG, Dante,
OG, get them,
Jalen, all teammates for a long time. All you really got to do is add one more star to
the
that.
Only other dude I would get is the what's the name over there in Brooklyn that they're saying that they all played together out there.
Mikal Bridges.
If it wasn't Julius, but I don't know if I'm getting rid of Julius for that dude because we'll see. Is he a small forward? Is he considered a power forward?
No. He's a small forward. He's a small forward. Like,
right, he's a skinny dude. He's not like a dominant player.
I'm not real big on that move because it just clogs up our.
Yeah, it wouldn't work. KD would be. Are you kidding?
RBL says I can't respect KD. He just got his first lineup since his day in Texas.
Did he say I can't respect? He just got his first lineup. Well, yeah, he come back to New York, the real New York. He probably get a good lineup.
He probably get a good lineup every day. And I mean, actually, no, because when he was in here with Kyrie,
yeah, I think he was like hiding in Brooklyn when he was up here. I think he knew that shit wasn't right to begin with.
He also was here during the COVID era, and I wouldn't have been in nobody's barbershop.
That's true too.
True. But at the end of the day, you get paid enough to get a haircut. Anyway,
yeah, I know. Because
these are all the reasons why I don't like KD and how I'm voicing it now, it's silly as hell.
Yeah.
It's silly as hell. Robert Becker said in the offseason,
he's bugging.
Trade Julius and Mitch for he's KD bugging. And Booker. Nah.
I don't know why we would pick up both KD and Booker.
Well, for one, Phoenix wouldn't let that happen. And not for Julius and Mitch.
Exactly.
They definitely wouldn't take it.
What's the contract situation with KD? Why are we even talking about why did he even come up?
I mean, KD, I mean, he just...
He would have to request a trade.
He'd have to request a trade just like most other guys.
But they about to lose in the first round.
Hold on.
Organization would love.
Hold, please.
What happened? What'd you find?
Okay.
I think he in the
he has
another year.
One more year left. He's definitely tradable.
What's another year?
There's one more year in his contract. Now, the only thing about it is he gets paid $53 million next year.
That's That would probably be the
who's this?
That probably
Kevin be Durant.
Of course.
What he earned?
I'll take Julius.
Yeah, for sure.
Right, because he's making how much less a year? 20 mil?
They pay RJ Barrett more than they pay Julius Randle.
Well,
they pay RJ Barrett 105. They gave Julius 100.
They did.
Well, he accepted less so that he can get a team around.
All right, keep him. You know what? Just for that, you're 28 years old. Stay here.
See, I say RBS said he's soft. If he can't handle Draymond, he can't handle.
That's true too. But that's what we talk about.
Well, the thing about there ain't no Draymond on this team. There's no Draymond on this team.
But they looking bad over there.
The closest you have to Draymond is Josh Hart. And like the guy on his show said, what'd he say? He said Josh Hart is just Draymond Green that got therapy or something like that. Which is pretty funny. Because, you know, I mean, playing style wise, they're pretty much very similar players. Just in terms of what they do at their size. Now, I mean, obviously Josh has a little bit more of a scoring touch to him than Draymond Green. But yeah, man, I don't know if KD handled New York well when it came to fans and all of that. I think that team just lacked leadership. That team lacked leadership. You had a team with Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden. Like, who was the leader out of those three guys? Like, tell me which one of those guys you're looking to be the leader, who's the head of the horse. Like, I don't right now, and it's the same thing that I'm seeing in Phoenix. It's not that you guys are bad. It's just, who is the leader? Who are you guys leading? Like, who are you guys following? I mean, like, who is the leader over there? I don't really see it. That's just me.
If I had to choose, I would say Kyrie, because Kyrie, he goes with whatever, you know. Like, he's like, yo, this is what I believe. I'm rolling with it.
Right. Yeah.
He had the whole topic of the Earth is flat come back up again in circulation just off of an interview. So I mean, like, but anyhow, that has nothing to do with nothing. I had another question, but I think this is my last question, and then we're done. But
mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's just that I'm a Knicks fan, but from all the games, playoff game ones that I've watched, the Knicks game was like the most exciting one. I mean, like, of course you had teams that were like blowing out the other team. That's not exciting to me. Like, it's kind of boring.
It's a good matchup.
Yeah. Right.
But I'm watching the Knicks game. I'm like, yo, this is a game.
Yeah.
Knicks up, then they down. Then they up. No, other way around. Then they went down, then they went up. Then they went down again, and then they closed it out. Like, that was a game.
Right, right.
Like, I watched the Bucks game tonight. I was just like, yo, what is this? Like,
what's going on, right?
I fell asleep. I mean, they up 30. I'm like, come on.
Without Giannis.
Without Giannis.
Like, that's crazy. That's crazy to me.
Ridiculous.
But I mean, also,
we would have trouble with the Pacers. I'm like, I don't understand where people get this nonsense.
I don't know what they just used to the old Knicks when we were there. Like, they don't know what they're talking about. They're talking about old Knicks still. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Right. I mean, just looking at the Magic last night and how the Magic
played. Yeah, the Knicks said we wouldn't be able to match up against
Orlando. Nonsense. Come on, man. Like, you know what I mean? And even State, shout out to State. State came on the show and said that we get the ancestors will come on.
Why y'all let him talk like that?
No, bro. He said that he had me crying. My man said, if Jonathan Isaac, he said the ancestors would come out of the grave. Nah, but the thing is that what I was trying to get through to State and saying was, playoff experience matters.
It does.
It's really a thing. Half court offense matters. Being able to hit a 3-point shot in the playoff matters. Like, you have to do those things, and if you don't do those things, you're not gonna win. Yeah. And you saw how hard they were playing pretty good at certain points of the game last night, and they were still down big.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that's just inexperience. I saw that they were getting steals and going fast breaks and missing layups. Like, what is going on here? Like, this can't happen. And then what happens is, after one miss, morale down. After two misses, morale's down. By the fifth or seventh one, you kind of like start hoping that the shot goes in. And at that point, you already lost. Like the game is over at that point. So, you know what I mean? I think playoff experience matters. And I think that's why, you know what I mean? This team that we have here, not that we're not the deepest playoff team. Like, we don't have the, you know, most postseason experience, but you have guys like Jalen, who's been in crucial moments in the playoffs for the past 2 years now. Then you have guys like OG Anunoby, who has a championship and has been in that situation before. This is Josh Hart's second playoff appearance. You know what I'm saying? Like, he hasn't, you know, he hasn't really done that. But could you tell? You know what I mean? You can't tell. You know what I mean? That's just how he is. And Dante DiVincenzo, tons of playoff experience. He was on the Bucks during their final run. You know what I'm saying? And I think that was the only series he didn't really get to play. I think it was he missed a lot of games. So he was out for the year at a certain point. So he missed the actual title games. That's that series. But he's on that team, and this experience is being there and being in the locker room and seeing what it takes to get these guys to the next level. And I think that's what we have. I think they're going to continue to look for guys like that to add to the roster. You got guys like Bogey, another one, tons of playoff experience with Donovan Mitchell and hitting big shots and being there for big moments. It's guys that have been in these situations that when they get down, they don't panic. They just don't panic. That's why last night watching the game, and I could not panic. I'm like, all right, we'll be fine. Even when the game started and we were down like 10 points, I'm like, the first thing I said was basketball is a game of runs, bro.
Yeah.
That's it. It's a game of runs. We'll go on our run. We'll be fine.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to count on going into the playoffs. And shout out to our coach, once again, who was not, by the way, selected for the nomination of being coach of the year, which is outrageous to me to not even be nominated after getting your team to 50 wins second
season
without having your all-star since February.
I don't know.
You know what I mean? But, you know, it is what it is. It's a business. Shout out to our team. Keep adding more chips to these guys' shoulders like the NBA hasn't learned how to do yet. They keep doing it. But, you know, it is what it is. That's all I got. Tomorrow, game two in the Garden, 7:30 p.m. Let's cheer on our Knicks. Let's be there for their support. They've been riding with us. Also, before I got out of here, I want to go ahead and shout out my guy, Dante King Rome's book. His book is Softer Than Randall and Mitch. As much trash as Dante likes to talk in here, he actually has converted behind the scenes to a Knick fan, but we're not going to really go too deep into that. You know what I'm saying?
Really?
Yeah. Listen, man, I work my magic. I got a little wand. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing out here. Wow. You know, look, he's tight right now.
Don't say it. What happened? Now I gotta know what happened.
Look, he's a Knicks fan. He's an undercover Knicks fan. I said if the Knicks win a chip, you're gonna have to
Yo, please tell me what the fuck happened, bro.
You know what happened? And it's two words.
He watched the game.
Nope. Jalen Brunson.
Right, that makes sense.
You know what I'm saying? And that's respect. That's respect to me. It's respect because that proves this is someone who does not like New York sports at all. He's never, and I've known Dante since high school. Mm-hmm. He's never liked New York sports. He takes pride in hating New York sports. He is a Philly fan, and that's it. He said, I am a not Sixers, the Philadelphia Eagles. He's an Eagles fan, and that's it. But he just can't get enough of the Jalen Brunson madness, man. He's been along for the ride. Behind the scenes, I told you if we win the chip, you're going to have to come to the parade. He said, I'm going to have to come with my Eagles jersey on. I said, all right, whatever. As long as you're there, you know what I mean? Whatever. You know? As he said, Brunson is a trooper. Can't even lie to y'all. You know what I'm saying? He's out here watching Knicks podcast. Listen, it's all love, man. You have been converted.
Damn, Rose, you folded like a cheap suit. Damn, nigga. I thought you was going to be on the other side. Now look at you. One player.
One player. Now you a Knick.
Now you a Knick fan? Yo, cut that nigga off, bro. Ew, man. Ew, yo.
Listen, man, this just goes to look, he's tight. He's like, you see?
Not for nothing. This is my thing, though. And you look, they said Jalen Brunson, I think he was the fourth leading scorer behind Shea, Luka. What's his name over there in the Nuggets?
And Giannis. Yeah.
Shea, Luka, and Giannis. He's the fourth leading scorer in the league. Mm-hmm. And then he's in the running for MVP. I don't think he's going to get it because they're going to shit on him every chance he got. Yeah. Yeah. But he's in the running for MVP. And they keep overlooking the Knicks. And you see, they shut him down last night. And what we did? We still pulled out.
Still won.
I think that dude is a game changer. And if they don't focus on him, what they doing? They got free reign to defend whoever. Like, we got shooters now. Like, and I think if the team stick with what they want from Tibbs, because if one of our big men go down, we still got Precious over there, and I don't believe in him much as the other ones. But you know, it's a big deal, man. It's a big deal. Jalen Brunson he's the truth. He's him.
Yeah, he's him. He's him, man. Shout out to the chat. You're my guy, Izzy, my guy, Xavier, and Dante says JB is the best point guard in the league.
And on top of that, he don't get no calls.
He still don't get no calls. Still don't get no
calls. Jalen Brunson don't get no calls, bro.
I wouldn't say he doesn't get no calls.
Bro.
I don't think he gets as much as he wants, but he gets
calls. To sell his calls a lot. That's the only call.
Really, whatever gets. Reason, it, like, they don't like this motherfucker. He don't get these calls that he don't get, bro.
They be bugging. They be bugging a lot of times.
What was that game when they bumped his whole body? He spun it in. Yeah, and all that shit.
And then it's wild because they came out afterwards and said that.
Yes.
That it wasn't a foul. Mm. But now I'm watching all of these games since then, and that same exact play, they're calling a foul. Yeah. So I'm like, what is it? What's the deal here? Like, how is it? To me, there's no way you change the trajectory of how my body is in the air, and that's not.
And then not call and not see that?
Like that, and then you're gonna double down on it.
Yo, bro, that's outrageous. What they said after the game?
They basically said that it wasn't a foul. They said it was not a foul.
Bro, I can't stand it.
It's ridiculous. Xavier says, I see Jay-Z Jalil in the building. You know what I'm saying?
We're winning now.
But yeah, man, you know, let's just end this by saying that Jalen Brunson is special. Yes. The league is seeing it. Everybody, Philly seeing it firsthand, and they saw it all year. But the thing about it is, it gives me the vibes of I'm not saying he's the next Steph Curry, no, but it's the ascension when Steph Curry was going, when he was just going up, he kept going up and kept going up. And it was to the point where, like, can this guy really be that good? Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, can
you
hear really...
what Carmelo said about him?
What do you say?
He said Jalen Brunson is the point guard that I always wish I had. He said something along the line. He said he could back him down in the post. I was just like, and I ain't really think about that because it ain't like Jalen Brunson. You can't compare him to a Kyrie. He got a completely mm-hmm. or Steph Curry, as you saying that. You know what I mean? Like, he's somewhere in between. He don't got like crazy handle, but you see, he back him down.
Yeah.
He get in the paint. And he was like, yo, if I had a point guard like that, he felt like, I forgot what he said, but he felt like we could have did like a lot of good things. But he was the point guard. I don't know if that was disrespectful to any point guard he played with, like Raymond Felton.
That's immediately who I thought of, because Raymond, he was like, yo, he's the best player.
Raymond. Yeah,
Raymond definitely said, he said that he believed that Carmelo Anthony was the best scorer in history.
Yeah.
Like, he's who's better? He's like, in history, yeah.
He said in history. And a lot of those reasons is the same reasons why Brunson is so unstoppable. It's because he can score on all three levels. There's not a spot on the floor where you can leave Jalen Brunson open ever. And that's what makes him special, is he's 6 foot and he's still doing it. And it's like he's a bull in that little ass body, bro. And it's to me, just what he brings offensively. And then he's not a slouch on the other end. He might be small, but he's not just letting you walk by. He's not a turnstile. You know what I mean? He's honestly getting in the passing lanes. He's honestly there. He's making the right decisions, making the right doubles, man. He's really not just offensive player. Like he has so many facets to his game. I can go on and on and on. Like I said, point being, he reminds me a lot of the ascension of Steph Curry when he was on his way up to being the guy he is now. And I'm not saying that Jalen Brunson is Steph Curry, but there is some sort of something cooking here where it's not just he's a star, like a James Harden was a star, or like, you know what I mean? It's something where it's sustainable and you'll be able to build around that. And hopefully we get to see a championship here soon. Dante said he'll be at the parade in an Eagles jersey. And yeah, Izzy did ask, is it Dante, you a Knicks fan yet? You missed it. You missed it. He's
just made that announcement. Yeah.
He's definitely jumped on the squad.
He converted. He wearing blue and orange tomorrow. Watch.
He got a blue and orange jersey under the Eagles jersey. It's a little hot. It's a little hot for him. But
like this. Blue and orange on under there, boy.
Xavier said, do you think this team reminds you of the Derrick Rose Bulls? A great point guard and a bunch of great role. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's
that's Tibbs type of team.
Thibodeau. Yeah, it's a Tom Thibodeau team. Like
this team is more talented than that team because they had bum ass what's his name? Joakim Noah.
Joakim Noah was a dope. He actually got MVP votes 1 year. Like he was a good player. It's just
he was a rugged defensive player.
You needed another scorer
to save his life, but yeah.
And the only other scorer that they had was
Luol Deng?
Nah, Carlos Boozer.
Boozer.
They ain't really had nobody.
Yeah, Carlos Boozer. You know what I'm saying?
Taj Gibson.
Yeah, they are going crazy on me in the chat. All right. Like I said.
What happened?
Nah, man, they killing me because they ain't been on the show, man. Like, yo, like, come on, bro. Like, I told y'all, I'm going to do the fan show. I haven't set the date yet. I got y'all. Like, they in the chat talking about, like, yo, I need regular Joe's number. Yo, let's make our own channel. You know what I'm saying? We can call it Guard Down Knicks. Like, y'all really going crazy. Like, y'all really going crazy on me right now. And it's all good. It's love. Look. We can call it Four Snicks
Left.
I'm done.
Hold on.
In your defense, though, we definitely had a show where we were like, yo, if you want to be on, just let me know, right? And only one person came on.
That's it. I put the link in the chat.
That's not on you.
Listen, all right. So what I would do going forward, this, and I'm going to be honest and hold me to this when you see me go live. I will start putting the link to come on the show in the chat. And that goes for you too, Xavier. If you guys ever, and look, I was never invited. Oh my gosh, bro. First of all, Laker fan, sir. I didn't.
Yo, ignore all the Laker fans.
Anyway, you can't be asking for no invitations if your team didn't win.
They're not gonna win.
Yeah, let me not do that to you, bro. I'm messing with you, bro.
I don't hear nothing from no Laker fans.
Like I said, what I'm gonna do next show, and from now on, I will be putting the link in the chat. So if y'all want to come up, say a couple words, I'll give y'all a couple minutes. We could chat it up real quick, and then we move on to the next person. And we could do that every show as often as y'all want. You know what I'm saying? So, and I know Dante's gonna have a lot of shit to say. I'm about to get some birthday. Oh, that's right. Hold us the 22nd. Oh, shout out to you, bro. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Dante. You know, welcome. Welcome to the Knicks family. Welcome to the Knicks family on your 36th birthday.
Welcome, King Rolls.
Shout out to you, my guy. You know what I'm saying? Happy birthday, my guy. Happy birthday. But listen, as I like to say, man, I thank y'all for coming out. If you're still here, hit that like button, hit that subscribe. Over on YouTube, because I know a lot of people are watching on Twitter. While you're still here, jump over to YouTube real quick, follow us, like us, give us a subscribe. It doesn't really cost too much, you know what I mean? That's really all we ask you for. But thank y'all for tuning in. Once again, we will see you guys. I'll see you guys on Wednesday. We'll see us as a team here. We will see you guys next Sunday, hopefully. Saturday, Sunday, depending on the day. Actually, I won't be here next Saturday and Sunday. I forgot. I will be in New Orleans. My bad. Apologize, but we will figure it out. We'll work something out for y'all so that we can get something going. But this Wednesday, catch us over at the Morning Brew Sports. I'll be on there with my guys, Phil, Eru, and Bully on our Wednesday night show. Bring a drink, grab a glass, bring a drink. 10:30, we'll be there. And until then, y'all have a good one. Y'all be good. Dre, Rick, love y'all. I'll see y'all soon. Until next time, y'all have a good one. Thank you for the chat, for tuning in, y'all. Y'all have a good one, y'all. Dre got a jump shot the brick for y'all. There you go. All right, y'all. Holla at y'all. Much love. Peace.